Friday. It's Friday, Bill.
I see the smile.
Pretty excited about
it. It's great news, isn't it?
I have written a song to introduce our next guest.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What an honor this must be. I can't wait. I'm sure our guests can't wait. What is the song?
I have to do it a cappella, so.
Oh, all right.
Denny Lane, there is a man who played with the Moody Blues, and then he moved on to a band with old Sir Paul. Oh, man, did he have a ball. He really had it all. Denny Lane. There you go, sir.
Did you hang up, Denny, or are you still here?
Well, I like the lyrics, but I don't like the tune.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
I'm so with you. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, Wendy. How are you?
Very excited to have you. Of course, Denny Lane went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the Moody Blues, the class, last year, correct? 2018?
That's right. Well, yeah. We weren't expecting it, but it was great. Nice to see everybody again, actually.
Denny, you just said something interesting. You were not expecting it. Why weren't you expecting it?
Well, me especially, but I think the Moody Blues, you know, as a band, would have been in before now because of their success. But, you know, in England, we don't really have a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So it wasn't like we were wishing we were in it and you know, felt that we were, should have been in it. A lot of people thought we should have been in it. Stephen Van Zandt did a thing on Howard Stern because he's a big old Moody Blues fan, and he was complaining. But in actual fact, we weren't expecting it because, you know, it's just not our thing, really. But when we were, even Graham, the drummer guy from the Moody, said, well, I wasn't expecting it, but now I've got it, I feel really great. So thank you very much. You know, so it is a good feeling when you do.
It's a travesty that the Moody Blues wasn't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame prior to this. And, you know, I mean, does it mean a lot? It kind of does. Really, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I know Steve Miller went against it and everything. Is it really an honor?
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of people go against it because they think, well, you know, why should I be playing for all this stuff I've done, really? You know, I did it because I love it. But anyway, no, it's a really good feeling to feel like part of something like that, especially in America, because all these people in America, we always admired as kids. You know, we all learned a lot from American artists. Through the American Forces Network in Germany, we heard all the music. So without America, we would not have been who we are. So, you know, really, yes, we were very grateful to the Hall of Fame because of that reason. You know, it points that out to everyone. I mean, a lot of people didn't even realize I was in the Moody Blues, so I was in the Hall of Fame. So it certainly did me a lot of good.
Well, yeah, you sang the first hit single in the UK, Go Now, which is one of the most beautiful songs. I loved early Moody Blues. I liked late Moody Blues as well.
Oh, me too. I'm a big fan. I even said that on the acceptance speech. You know, I am a big fan, and the fact that they went off and did their own thing after I left was great for me, because I would have felt kind of guilty if I'd left and they hadn't had any success.
Yeah.
Danny, who are you listening to now of the newer performers? Is there anybody who interests you that you really like their sound?
You know, I mean, there's a lot of talent out there. I mean, Ed Sheeran is a big you know, name these days, and because he's a singer-songwriter, and I've always, you know, been a singer-songwriter too. And then Paul has even brought that out in me even more, and same with Mike Pinkman, Moody Blues. So anybody like that, you know, I like those young kids who come out and do what they're doing. And you can see there's a lot of great music around, and I listen to all styles of music, so I won't go into anyone particular. I love Andrew Bocelli, for example. I mean, there's a lot of people that I listen to, guitar players, Eric Johnson, people like that. And I'm really into all styles of music, so I can't really put my finger on anybody particularly. But yeah, there's some great talent out there.
Well, Greta Van Fleet is getting a lot of accolades these days. Three young brothers and a couple other band members. They're going to be on Saturday Night Live this weekend. And a lot of people are saying they're kind of a Zeppelin ripoff. I just say it's nice to see young kids getting back into rock and roll and have this resurgence come back. I think it's pretty cool.
You're absolutely right about that, because, you know, during the 80s and 90s, there wasn't a lot of bands about. They were all in their homes with their computers making that kind of music. Well, I'm getting many compliments these days because people are coming to see me, admire the fact that we all started off in bands in the early days. You know, it's very difficult to not be in a band when you're like that. And the fact that all these places are opening up again, these new venues, and people are playing in bands, I think they're kind of looking at us as their mentors in a way. So, it's really good for me. But also, I do love live music. You have to have live music to be any good. You can't just be a studio person. You have to do both because it's the only way you get the best energy out there, you see.
We have a pretty bad connection here, Denny. So we're not going to keep you. Of course, you're a co-founder of Wings as well with a guy named Paul that nobody remembers. And you are going to be live tonight, Evanston Rocks, 1012 Church Street. You can go to evanstonrocks.com. What can we expect tonight at the show?
Well, I'm going to go through a lot of the songs I'm involved with, the writing of, with Paul and the Moody Blues, and various other solo things myself, and just tell stories about how these songs came together. So it'll be a good night, and I love the audience participation in a situation like this.
Any Ginger Baker stories?
Yeah, probably. Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Any Ginger Rogers stories?
Maybe. He was influenced by all that stuff. It's all true.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, so nice to talk to you. Sorry the connection was pretty bad. Denny Lane, Grammy-winning singer, songwriter, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, legend. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, guys.
Take care, Denny. Nice to talk to you.
EvanstonRocks.com. You can go there tonight. He said he likes audience participation, so you can ask him what he said on our show.
Oh.
It was a very bad connection.
It was hard
today
to make out much of it. Yeah.
But, boy, the history of that guy.
Yeah. I was obviously, as you know, a gigantic Beatles fan, but I didn't see a tremendous drop-off when Paul McCartney formed Wings. I was as big of a fan, or almost as big of a fan of Wings as I was as the Beatles. The Beatles had a lot more complexity and depth, but the Wings were throwing out hit after hit after hit, you know?
It's weird, because Wings was way, I don't know if I should say poppier.
It was. There's no doubt about it. It was.
Kind of like
there was
a lot of electronic. It was.
Yeah.
It was.
I think because
unique.
Of where we were generationally in the music, you were getting a lot more of that electronic sound in there. But as the Beatles had, there was a very dark side to the Beatles. There's no question about it. A lot of their music has a very, very dark undertone to it. Wings, not so much, but still. It was like there were a lot of Wings songs that once you hear them once or twice, they were in your head. You didn't forget them. They were just in your head.
But good or bad. Like, Coming Up is one of my favorite Wings songs,
yeah.
But it's like, it's kind of silly.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
Right. It is.
But, and the videos, I guess it is the time. Think about it.
When I had him on in the past, you were away. He was in for a Beatles convention. And I asked him about the cover to Band on the Run, because it's a strange, very eclectic mix of people that are on that cover. That's the one where you see a whole bunch of guys, or blokes as he referred to them, I remember, wearing black turtlenecks. They're all dressed in black. And there's so many odd choices. The one that always was interesting to me was James Coburn is on there. So I said, can you just explain that cover to me? And he went in great detail about who was chosen and why they were chosen. And some was just very matter-of-factly because they were near the studio. So they called him up and said, hey, we're doing a photo shoot. Can you come down? But a very intriguing photo album cover.
Well, is that staying in the lines of Sgt. Pepper where everybody's on that album?
Yeah.
Was it kind of Paul's?
It was their answer to that.
I like that.
Yeah. Where it's interesting because it creates a conversation about why is that guy there and who is that guy and why is W.C. Fields on a Beatles album cover? That's the whole thing
is to get people talking about it.
Right.
All right. Well, Denny Lane, of course, a founder of the Moody Blues. He stayed for one album, and this is one of my favorite Moody Blues songs that he is actually singing on.
Good.
Do you remember this from 1964?
I do.
Number one hit in the UK. And then he bailed. saw it going in a different direction, and I'm still a Moody Blues fan. And then he was with Wings, and now solo show at Evanston Rocks tonight. You can get tickets, evanstonrocks.com. It's 1012 Church Street, Evanston.
I know I have said this in the past, but this is so up your alley. This is almost as though they've put a show together for you. I know it's the weekend, you have things going on, but you must want to see the show, right?
Oh, my God. Evanston couldn't be farther away from where I live, and this big blizzard coming tonight.
Right.
I am like grandma all of a sudden when it snows. I put my support hose on, cuddle up on the couch.
There's an image.
Catch up on Schitt's Creek.
Oh, well, that's excellent. Good.
So, but, yeah, this is right up my alley.
Yeah. Yep.
I wish it was a closer alley.
No, I know. I understand that. Wendy, Louis C.K. is back in the news.
Good or bad?
I don't think good. I mean, he's making an effort now to get himself out there. He's done, as you know, he has done a couple of shows, showcase type shows, where he's not really advertised as he's going to play at a club. It's one of those showcase clubs where they put five or six guys on. You don't know who you're going to see next, and he's just been on the show. Well, now it's a more concerted effort to let people know that he's going to be in their town. This is a West Coast tour. In and around San Jose, protesters have gathered in response to Louis C.K.'s arrival at the San Jose Improv. This took place just this past Wednesday. A man was punched in the face as the controversial comedian began his first West Coast appearance since his career was derailed in the wake of sexual misconduct claims. The club's parent company released a statement saying they respect the protesters' right to assemble, and there's a lot of people out there protesting, by the way, but also respect Louis C.K.'s right to perform. That's valid,
yeah.
Right? Reports from inside the club suggest the comedian hasn't changed his approach. At one point, he reportedly referenced his action that caused the most outrage, servicing himself in front of women.
Oh.
He talked about that a little bit now.
Oh.
He didn't do that. That wasn't part of the show.
Louis,
He talked about doing that.
Which he hasn't before that we've discussed.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Is this progress or regress? Because in the past, he's done these shows and he hasn't addressed it at all. But now he's addressing it very, very boldly, I guess. He says, I don't have the exact wording on the joke, but he explains that he enjoys masturbation and does not like being alone, so isn't it natural that he would do that with people around? Quick answer, no. It's just my opinion. After 30 protesters, many from the San Jose-based Enough is Enough Voter Project, clustered on a rainy sidewalk in front of the comedy club, chanting the word shame and San Jose, not Man Jose. They could work on that one, maybe. As ticket holders walked into a sold-out 8 p.m. show, a man in a separate protest group of two people shouting into a bullhorn across the street was punched in the face by another man who appeared to enter the club afterward. We were out here protesting, just doing our thing, said the injured protester, who identified himself as George and declined to give his last name. And the guy came up, saw me, and punched me. He was like, oh, yeah, well, I think you're out at a effing party. I was like, whoa, dude, okay, screw you. And then he went for me. He punched me in the face. He tried to punch me a couple times in the head. And that happened right as the cops started rolling up. So it's creating quite a stir outside the club as well as inside the club.
Perhaps he's going to go back to unannounced visits.
Well, except that if he wants to make money at this,
yeah, I guess.
The showcase clubs, I don't know if it's different when you're a big star, but the showcase clubs famously don't pay much money because they're just giving guys stage time. You know, you want to try out new material.
That's right.
So if he wants to make money at this again, and I'm sure he does, it has to be advertised, you know, for advanced ticket sales, for any ticket sales. So I don't know how this is going to play out. I said in the very beginning, of all the people whose names are on this list of potential career-ending violations, he's probably going to be the one that resurfaces. But he would only do, I would think he would only do it if he was honest about the whole thing.
But that's what I mean. Not what I mean, because I didn't say it. But I wanted to ask you, being a former stand-up, it was frustrating to both of us that he didn't mention his allegations.
Not just frustrating, but curious, because he's a guy who deals in honesty. He's very honest on stage.
Okay, so is it acceptable that he made a joke of it, or is this something that isn't joke-worthy, and perhaps he should have just said, boy, you know, That's not my, I don't know what the right way is. I mean, kind of in the Louis C.K. way, he's making fun of himself, but then it seems like he's making light of it.
Yeah. You know,
I don't know what the proper way is to do it.
We talked about him a couple of weeks ago because he was making fun of some of the survivors of the Parkland disaster,
yeah,
the Parkland
that?
Shooting. So I'm not exactly sure when he's formulating what his stage persona is, what his reasoning is. I would think that addressing what's happened to him in the past is an almost must.
But to make a joke
of it? Either at the beginning or the end. I don't know if making a joke about it, I could almost see where, if you're him, you do a show and you don't address it, and then at the very end say, I have to be honest with you, I have made some mistakes. If you have followed what's happened to me in the last couple of years, I have made some horrible mistakes. I feel sorry for those mistakes. I want to get past it. I hope we can all get past it. Just be very honest and say, I know I've done wrong. I want to rebound. Help me do that.
And good thinking putting it at the end, because if you open with that, then the show's going to suck.
Right.
It's hard to recover.
Although, if you're him and you think the audience is going to expect me to address it, let's get it out of the way. I could see where it would almost work at the beginning or the end, but do it in a sincere way. I mean, look, he's Louis C.K., so he's not, I mean, he's a bright guy who knows what he's doing. I'm confused by his methods lately.
Yeah, but we've talked about this before. A nice freelance job for you would be life coach to the comics.
Right.
You could direct them.
I say to Kathy Griffin, when a photographer says to you, here, hold this for a photograph, say, no, thank you, just a regular photograph, please. Or to Louis C.K., I say, what I just said. Or to Aziz Ansari, don't go on any dates for a while. Just lay low for a little while, Aziz, please. There's got to be ways to handle this properly, right?
Bill Leff, a celebrity life coach.
To the stars.
To the comics.
Yeah, to the comics, not to the stars. Stars will not help. They will not talk to me. All right. Kim Gordon is going to give you the news in just a moment, and then there's more of us. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
I hope Denny Lane liked my Penny Lane song.
He did. He was just on Entertainment Tonight telling them how much he enjoyed it.
All right, good.
He told Mary Hart that. It was an old episode.
Mary Hart. Where is she now?
I don't know. She's usually at Dodger games. You can see her.
Yeah, sitting next to Larry King. Are they dating?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hot and heavy.
Nothing's hot and heavy.
Hot and heavy, hello.
His oatmeal, maybe.
Maybe.
His eating pad.
That's what's hot and heavy. All right, it's news time. Kim, I hope that wasn't your top news story.
It was.
Oh, no. We feel horrible.
The WGN Chicago Weather Center forecast. Here we go. Here comes the snow. A winter storm warning goes into effect at 3 o'clock this afternoon until noon on Saturday. Today, mostly cloudy. Snow developing late, a high of 32. Tonight, snow and blowing snow. Blustery, a low of 26. Tomorrow, snow, blowing snow, mainly early.
Stop saying snow.
I know, and blowing and blustery. 5 to 10 inches total accumulation possible, a high of 27, and then temperatures will be falling in the afternoon. I say rent some new movies, go to the grocery, get your firewood in, and sit at home.
That's what I'm doing.
Solid advice.
Yeah, and I'm going to get on a plane at 7:30 tonight. How's
are
that
you?
Gonna go
Where are you
going to
go?
I don't know that you are.
I don't think I am. I'm going to try, though.
Where? In which direction are you headed?
I'm going south, but not far south. I'm just going to
Joliet?
Louisville.
Oh, Louisville?
45-minute flight, but, you know, it's going to all be snowing south of Gary.
Yes.
So I'm thinking.
Good luck.
Yeah. I already got the email from United telling me.
What did they say? Just to be.
You can change if you want. You
without
know, they're more flexible
fees.
For fees, but I'm just waiting for the cancellation. There's already. I know there's been over a total of 100 flights already canceled at Midway.
Yeah.
And O'Hare was up to about 80 something.
You still may hear from them because everything's supposed to kind of kick in
around 3.
After 3 o'clock.
So it's probably just going to get going around that time.
So when they offer you the idea of maybe changing, are they saying, come take an earlier flight?
Take an earlier flight, which I can't, obviously. I'm
You're
working
here.
So
I would ask to leave early.
Well, I'm already leaving early.
Well, then you can't.
Yeah.
I'd leave earlier.
I'm leaving a little earlier.
Do you want Wendy and me to fill in for you?
That'd be good.
Could do that.
That would be good.
Right.
Rowan
would
enjoy that.
No, he would not. And I'm wondering about the Jason Van Dyke verdict, but that hasn't happened this morning.
Well, they said the the hearing today was going to take about 3 hours. So,
and they began at 9 or no?
I
know they
sure.
had a lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was closer to 10, was it?
Perhaps.
So, when I just left the newsroom a few minutes ago, the prosecution had a man testifying about when he was allegedly pulled out of his car by Officer Van Dyke during a traffic stop and
yeah.
was not treated very nicely.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting.
And yeah. that he possibly tore his rotator cuff when Van Dyke put him on the back of a car. So he was in
just
tears.
Just to establish that Officer Van Dyke was not the most upstanding of police
and
officers.
And might have been a hothead.
Yeah. yeah. And so they, you know, slammed him on the back of a car. He and his cousin were in the car together, and this man was in tears.
Yeah.
And they asked the prosecutor asked him to describe Jason Van Dyke and what he was wearing in the courtroom to make sure it was him, and they had to nudge him to even like look up and look at Van Dyke and acknowledge what he had on.
Wow.
You could see there was obviously some trauma there.
Now, during a trial, you can't pull out previous acts and use that against the defendant. But in a sentencing situation, apparently you can.
I guess right? so. I mean, this obviously they have people on both sides that are going to talk about his character.
Right, right.
So,
have either of you heard the two letters that were written by Van Dyke's children, daughters?
I heard a little bit about them.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're
it's heartbreaking.
Extremely emotional and powerful.
That's terrible.
I feel sorry for the kids.
Yeah, and
right.
the family.
They have nothing to do with that.
Right.
Know?
There's
but,
no winners here. Like
no, absolutely.
Said. There are no winners here.
It's a balancing act because it's unfair to several groups of people in different directions. If you're the families of Laquan McDonald, if you're the family of Laquan McDonald, you say, well, that's horrible that these girls won't get time to spend with their father, but we've lost somebody.
Yeah. Right.
So
I'm a big fan of police officers, and in my opinion, 99% of them are fantastic guys.
Yeah.
There is a small percentage that there are police officers that are jerks. There is a percentage of people in radio who are jerks. I mean, every group has some idiots.
Right.
I am shocked that the officers yesterday were acquitted of their any wrongdoing in this particular case. Could they have been found guilty and just been given probation or a light sentence? Because it's just confusing to me. How can one guy be completely complicit? I know they didn't pull the trigger, but it seems like they covered
some
things.
Yeah. That's what most people
say. Really confusing to me.
And the black community just feels very insulted right now. And it's just pouring salt into the wounds that are already there. And it, you know, even Mayor Emanuel and Superintendent Johnson yesterday, and even the mayor reiterated it today, he didn't talk about the acquittal outright, but he said, you know, even though the court makes a ruling, we're going to continue to build bridges and try to make, you know, make a better relationship
between
police.
But are those just words?
Well, I mean, I think that's probably how the black community views it. You
yeah.
know, we don't stand in their shoes. We don't know how it feels
right.
to be pulled over and
right.
be slammed on the back of a car. So
right.
it's a very difficult situation. You can see both sides. And yet, like I said, we don't know what it feels like. So it's hard to put
yeah.
ourselves in their shoes.
To just be a suspect just because of the color of your skin.
Just because of the color of your skin.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, the decision was a strange one yesterday, very very surprising, and yeah,
and the fact that it just piggybacks on this today is really tough.
Right.
You know, maybe had you even had a week to breathe between the two, but
right.
it's going to just piggyback onto
yeah.
this. It's
yeah.
tough.
Yeah. How do you think it'll play out, the decision for how much time he
we
serves?
We were just talking about it in the newsroom. We don't have a feel for it.
It's hard to figure out.
I mean, he could get 96 years. That's
yeah.
Or he could get 6 years. I mean, there's such a discrepancy there. It's really hard to tell.
I don't know enough about it, but I know that in this particular instance, they were talking about sentencing. Each shot brings upon more years.
Right. Because
right?
that the aggravated battery charge, I believe, takes precedent over the second-degree murder charges.
Yeah.
And so there's 16 aggravated
separate,
battery. Right.
Separate
so
counts.
That adds more time.
Right. But isn't it, is that how it usually happens? I mean, I'm not trying to say that this is better or worse, but it all took place. It was all one continuous act. So
right.
I'm surprised it's not treated as that.
And I think that's what his lawyers are going for. What I read is that they're saying the first two shots killed him.
There were two fatal shots.
And right. So those are the shots that should be considered, not 16.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that comes into play.
Yeah.
Although, then I want to know why 16 were fired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. If he was dead after the second, why
do you keep going? To me, that shows some anger and additional issues.
I think that's what the prosecution is trying to prove with the witnesses they had on earlier, or they're having now, you know, one witness earlier, this man, Edward Vance, now about, you know, his character and how he handled other traffic stops, other things that he did in the life of a police officer.
Van Dyke said initially that he was concerned for his own safety, that he felt that Laquan McDonald was a threat to his own safety. That's why the shots. But at some point, especially when there's that many shots, you have to figure that threat is eradicated, you would imagine.
Well, and you would think so. Even if you shot somebody in the leg and they're, you know, wounded, it's going to be very hard for somebody to hurt you, you would think.
Yeah.
And you have backup on the way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So how big of an issue does this become with the mayoral election so close? Do they all start to capitalize on this and use this as some sort of a springboard of here's what I would do, here's what should have been done? Does it become a major thing? It's already an integral part of it, but does it become an even bigger part of it, do you think?
Well, you know, I think it's tough for somebody like Gary McCarthy, who lost his job because of this.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday he made a statement saying, I support the verdict and I respect the process.
Yeah.
Where Lori Lightfoot, who's a former prosecutor, was upset about it, and she's a black woman.
Yeah.
Toni Preckwinkle, another black woman. I mean, you know, I think the circumstances and how this is going to weigh on the mayoral election affects each candidate in a different way.
Yeah.
So it's hard. I don't think we can make a blanket statement about it, but obviously they're all going to address it.
You have to. Yeah.
312 says Van Dyke deserves jail time. Yes, I feel sorry for his kids, which is what started this, the letters. But he chose to make that decision of killing someone. Also agree that it was completely unjust to not charge three sworn officers that lied and covered up for a fellow officer. Injustice at its finest. Sad, sad day for the Chicago judicial system. And I have a question pertaining to all of this. Remember when the verdict was being read, how the city was kind of prepared for any events that might happen once the verdict was read. Has there been any talk about this today?
Well, yesterday, the ministers who came out after the acquittal yesterday came out and called for peaceful protests. I have not heard anything planned for today. I know that there are going to be protesters outside the courthouse today, or they're probably already there for the Van Dyke sentencing. So hopefully people will just peacefully protest. I haven't.
It's hard to peacefully protest when there's so much emotion involved, but you have to be peaceful. I'm sorry, I don't know what other thing to say. We will, of course, keep you posted, WGN Radio, as the sentencing can. I don't know when this is going to end. I would have thought it would happen.
It is going to take a while. I'm not exactly sure when it's going to happen, but it will be a while. It's not.
And we'll
just
have that as it
cut
develops.
Cut and dry, yes.
Here on 720.
I have part of the letters that his daughters wrote.
They are in the courtroom today, by the way.
His daughters are.
And his wife, and I know his dad for sure. I'm not sure about, and I'm sure other family members.
Kim, do you know, but I'm going to read part of the letter because they're gut-wrenching. I mean, you hear the honest words of two little girls who realize that what they're used to, and I'm not taking anything away from the fact that a man is dead at his hand, at his gun. I'm just saying they're very emotional. But here's my question. Does somebody on the lawyer team, on Van Dyke's lawyer team, say to the girls, we need these letters written because this is an emotional spark that we need at your father's sentencing?
Oh, I think.
Or do they say?
No, hey, I think that's totally
They were told to write it.
Told to write them. I mean, look at Blagojevich's girls.
Yeah.
They had. They wrote letters. They had to. And, you know, unfortunately, I know some people who were in trouble and, a family member was in trouble and they were asked to write letters on his behalf. So I think that's very normal. I think that's part of the process.
Here's part of the letter. The day of his verdict, not only was my heart ripped out of my chest, but he wouldn't be there for my 17th birthday, which made me fall into a depression, his daughter wrote. I want you to get to know the real Jason Van Dyke. I know who he really is and not what the public has portrayed him to be, as well as the media or any news source. She goes on to explain that the last time she hugged or kissed her father was back in October. Now I touch his hand through a piece of dirty glass and I speak through a phone where the connection breaks in and breaks out. I have no appetite. I do not sleep at night due to nightmares and crying because I wonder if my dad has pillows or blankets or has eaten or before he's gone to bed. Bring my dad home.
My heart breaks for them and his family, but that shouldn't make any difference. I'm sorry.
That's what's so hard about this is you're right. It's as emotional can be.
Heartbreaking.
But
that has nothing to do with what the decision today is going to be. It just doesn't.
Right.
And it shouldn't sway it at all.
Yep.
I hate to sound so hard and cold because
Like we said, there are no winners in this.
Absolutely.
There are no winners from his family to the McDonald family to every African American in this community who feels like they've been insulted.
Yeah.
I mean, this is their city too.
Do you think it happens more in Chicago than in other cities? that there's some sort of imbalance that, I mean, obviously needs to go away.
But I think it happens everywhere.
I think it happens everywhere. I mean, you know, I see it in Louisville from growing up. I mean, Louisville, you know, it has a very large African-American community too, but doesn't seem to be as segregated into neighborhoods and people. I mean, yes, there are segregated neighborhoods, but it just doesn't seem to be as severe as Chicago.
Right.
It seems like people
Why do
are
you think
meshed
that is?
Together more.
What's going on that's
Well,
creating that?
I don't know. I mean, part of it for me growing up was forced busing.
Yeah.
You know, every school had to be 50-50.
Yeah.
So,
would you recommend that here? Does that work?
It was ugly at the beginning. I mean, definitely ugly at the beginning.
All sorts
for
of
me, I thought it was great. Because I got to meet people I never would have met and became friends with
That's
people I never would have met otherwise in my life.
Yeah.
So for me, I thought it was a great thing. And I was exposed to different people and different cultures.
Right.
And I like that.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about working, because I think part of the sometimes living in Chicago when you're in your little secluded neighborhood, because the city is so big, you get stuck in one little rut. And when you're here and you're downtown and you're working in an office and you're with lots of people, you get meshed with everybody, which you necessarily don't if you're just in the north suburbs or in the west suburbs and staying in your little pocket.
My daughters went to Evanston High School, which is
much more diverse than where my kids
situation.
Went to school. Right.
And they both said that then when they went to college, there was no difference because there were kids of every culture, of every background. But they said that they could see the kids, they could tell the kids immediately that weren't used to having kids of other ethnicities near them. A huge adjustment at the ages of 19 and 20 and 21. It's so strange that would be the first exposure you would get to people of other parts of the the spectrum. But isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. Yeah. And maybe that's one of the biggest problems is that people, you know, develop these biases when they're young or in their teens because they're not exposed. And then when you try to push everybody together, it doesn't work.
Yeah. I was so embarrassed as a kid. Oak Forest, when I grew up, was at least 90% white, at least, and probably a lot more. And the first black family that moved into the area had a horrible go. They didn't last long at all. And I was a kid, and I just felt embarrassed because, to me, it was just another family moving into town. But a lot of the people who lived by saw it otherwise, and it was such a wake up call to how mean people could be for no other reason that they weren't used to having somebody different move
in. It's crazy. I mean, I remember, you know, when I was little, I wasn't bused. My school had to be 50-50. You were bused by your age and the letter of your last name. So my sister was bused. And I remember my mom going down to volunteer because the National Guard rode the bus with kids of the KKK and people rallying outside the schools.
Oh my God.
It was bad. I mean, it was really bad. But people survived it.
And yeah. How long did that happen?
And this was not that long ago. That's what upsets me.
70s, right? 70s. Yeah.
Jeez. Right.
But for how long did the KKK send representation out?
Oh, it went on for a while. I mean, the first year was very tumultuous.
So for the better part of that year, you had KKK people outside protesting by the school?
Well, they weren't necessarily outside the school, but there were KKK rallies and protesting the forced busing.
Yeah. Were you afraid when you encountered them? Was that a fearful? It would have to be pretty scary.
It was scary. You know, I didn't see it as much as my sister. My sister was little then. She's 4 years younger than me.
Yeah. So,
because it was mainly going on in the inner city schools where white kids were coming to.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I was staying out because I wasn't one of the kids who had to go at the time.
Right.
So.
Right. And what was the feeling of most of the kids? What would you say the majority of the feelings were, white and black kids? Were they okay with this at the time, or were they?
Nobody thought anything of it. It was more of an adult thing. Like, yeah. Once you were in school, nobody thought anything of it.
Right.
It was fine.
Right. Wow.
You know?
Wow. So what do we expect to have happen later today with the sentencing? Is there any idea what's to come? It could be anything.
I mean, I would be very shocked if he's, you know, gets probation.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, you know, he'll be sentenced and he'll go back to jail.
Right.
But we'll see what happens
in
the
aftermath. Do you think it'll be for the rest of his life? Or, you know, sometimes they make the sentence, it'll be 80, 90 years. He's 40, right? Is he in his
40s? He's in his 40s. Yeah.
So that's essentially a life sentence.
That's a life sentence.
Yeah.
What I was reading earlier, one of the jurors said, actually it was one of the only, a woman who was the only black juror on the jury. She said that, she hopes he didn't get a slap on the wrist.
Right.
But she didn't want him to be in jail forever.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Did she say why she wanted that?
She felt like he needed to be punished,
but not for the rest of his life. Interesting. Very interesting. All right, so we will keep an eye on this throughout the rest of the day. We expect some sort of a ruling fairly soon, right?
Yeah, I would think maybe hour or two.
Yeah, wow. Is that the big, other than that in the snowstorm, that's the big talk in the newsroom,
right? That's pretty much it. That's the talk of the town today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And whether or not Kim will get out on her flight.
Right, I'll let you know. I really want to see my 92-year-old grandmother this weekend.
That's not fair. Horrible timing.
I know. It's bad timing.
My daughter's headed toward New York, or supposed to be going to New York.
And they're getting
it's worse there.
It's going to be worse there because they're going to have a real blizzard.
Yeah. New York and Boston, they're saying, will get the brunt of it.
Yeah.
So if her classes, I would imagine, start Monday.
Yeah.
Or she has to be back Monday.
Yeah.
What if she can't, I mean...
I don't know.
If I just would say, you know, I'm going to delay this by one day.
Well, sometimes they may, just close school for a day, too, if it's that bad and kids can't get back. That's what happened to my son when he was in Miami for the hurricane.
Yeah.
I mean, he was out of school for a week.
If you can't get back,
you can't get back.
Right. So, she's prepared in every direction for what could happen.
Right.
We were going to try to get her on an earlier flight, but everybody jumped on that. So,
so there were no seats?
There was.
Well, here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want to go to O'Hare, fight that, sit there
and just
for 3 hours,
and
then they tell you it's canceled.
Right.
That's what
Bill will come pick you up.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm here for you. Kim, thanks for hanging out. We appreciate it. We'll take a quick break.
Safe travels if you make it.
If you make it. We'll close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
That was my fault.
What happened to the music?
The button malfunctioned.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Everything all right?
Snow got on it.
Already?
It's already snowing in the studio.
It is snowing in the studio.
Although back in the 70s, that meant something different in a radio studio. So let's just say...
I'm naive and don't understand what you're talking about.
Operator error.
All right. We want to thank Denny Lane, who's appearing in Evanston
Evanston
tonight.
Rocks. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know what time the show is.
I want to say 8. I could be off, but go 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
EvanstonRocks.com. Find out all the information.
Yeah. He's Denny Lane. Go see him. Thanks to everybody who we had on today. We have anybody else on?
Alexander Zeldin.
He was on today.
Megan Kochmeyer.
Yeah, they were on.
Worried us about the weather. Although she wasn't. She was excited about it.
No, it's a happy time for meteorologists everywhere. Everywhere, Wendy. All right, that's it. No show tomorrow because it's Saturday. No show for Sunday because it's Sunday. But Monday, what a show.
Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yes. Yes.
While your kids are out of school, we better make our show a little more kid-friendly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because kids will be out of school for the most part, which I think they should just go to school and learn more.
All right. That's fair. That's it, guys. Thanks for coming around. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.